Hi, everybody. This is December 3rd, 2019, and this is our first call in Practical Applications, Get Results With Your Words. And even though technically it's the first call, this is really our second call because we had a Jumpstart call not that long ago. I hope you were at the Jumpstart call. If you weren't, please make sure to go and access that call because it forms the foundation for everything we're going to do in this series. And at that Jumpstart call, welcome to those who are in the Love Your Words, Love Your Life Mastermind. Welcome to those who are from Karen's group. So excited to be on this, I think it's a 7-week series with you together. And we're going to do all the important foundations. Hang on, I'm just hearing some noise on the line. So let me mute all the lines. Okay, there we go. So we're going to create important foundations for every area of your company, whatever you call that, your company, your business, the work that you do in the world, your mission on this planet. Everywhere we go in our companies, we use words with our clients, with our joint venture partners, with our when we're talking to people and letting them know about the work that we do, when we're talking to our team, whether that's we've got a team of 10 or 1,000 behind us, or it's our family helping us out to photocopy things or whatever it is, we are always using our words everywhere. It's how we construct the vision of where we're going, why we're doing what we're doing. It's how we communicate with others. It's how we even understand why we're doing what we're doing and what we'll, it's how we find the vision that gets us up out of bed in the morning to create that dream that we know is our birthright. So practical applications, get results with your words. And as I mentioned in our Jumpstart call, we're going to start each call in Shavasana because and whether you have any yoga experience or not, I'm part of my background is as an Iyengar yoga teacher. And with all my work in the area of words and stories for over 25 years, here's one thing that I've found consistently. The words don't come from the words. They don't come from, that sounds funny, but they don't come from the words. They don't come from spewing things. They don't come from that busy mind. The words come from the silence. The words come from that quiet place inside. The words come from a very rooted place inside us when we know how to listen in and tune our inner ear to something that is far more profound than a 30-second elevator pitch or this marketing spiel or this email campaign. They come from a rooted place when they're real. So we begin in Shavasana, and for this first part, camera on, camera off, doesn't matter to me, but after Shavasana, really helpful if you can have your camera on so that we can join that virtual circle together. So we begin in Shavasana, and that means finding a quiet place to lie down. If you're not in a place where you can lie down, you can do a seated meditation, and we'll start out for about 10 minutes or so just to ground ourselves and to come into a really centered place, the place where we can access much deeper words. So find a comfortable place to lie down. If you're driving, please pull over. Do not do this while you're driving, please. So find space for yourself. If you have an office door, close your office door. If you have your phone beside you, turn the ringer off. If you have people who might disturb you, just like let them know that this is a time and place just for you so that you practice carving out. We practice carving that space together, that quiet space of listening in. You can lie down on your back and make sure that you've got space so you're not bumping into walls or furniture or papers or other things. So create space for yourself. Every day before our calls, create space. And lying on your back, you might want to have a pillow or just a folded blanket handy. And when you lie on your back, just notice if your chin is way up in the air. So if it is, that means there's, tension at the back of the neck, and it means the mind is busy, overoccupied, that busy, busy full day. So you can take the hands and actually extend through the back of the neck. So thumbs point toward the chin and the backs of the, like the fingers are at the back of the head, and just extend through the back of the neck and then release the head down again. And if that chin is still pointing up in the air, if it's higher than the forehead, then take a blanket or a folded blanket or a pillow and place the support beneath your head and neck, but not beneath the shoulders. These tiny details make a difference. If the support goes beneath the shoulders, it will not be the same. If there's a gap between the support and the shoulders, you will not dive into that quiet space as easily or as quickly. So find support beneath the head. And then bend the knees, if you haven't already, bend the knees. And just notice if you've got that, you know, huge space beneath the low back. So what I want you to do is lift, press into the feet and lift the buttocks up enough off the floor so you can to actually take the hands and take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels. So making space as we did at the neck, now we want to make space through the low back. And then extend one heel out and then the other along the floor and that let the legs release. Now, if when you do so, the back is not comfortable, you need more support beneath the legs. So pay attention to the details. When we want to work with words, when we want to grow our company, our work in the world, we want to pay attention to the details. Notice, if your back's not comfortable, place your legs, like your calves on a chair or your couch, or you can place a bolster if you've got one at home, or a rolled blanket or a couple of rolled blankets or some pillows beneath your calves. Until you can place the calves up on the couch or a chair, or you can place the bolster goes beneath the upper thighs, right? So just anything that lifts the legs a little bit will give relief to that low back. I want you to be comfortable. Now bend the elbows and dig the elbows into the floor to lift and open the heart center. Aligned words come from an open heart. And we do that physically here. And then we release the arms out to the sides. The arms are in a low V, palms up position. So arms are about 30 degrees away from the body. The arms are straight, but they form a V with the body. And then softly close your eyes. Scan the body for any tension. Behind closed eyes, just notice. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Let the legs relax. Let the arms relax. Feel the pull of gravity, allowing you to release all the muscles, the bones to the earth. Just let go. Let the arms and legs be heavy, but the chest is light. Soften the throat. Soften the face. All the tiny muscles of the face, let them go. Relax the jaw all the way up to the hinge near the ears. Can you feel that line of the jaw? Are you holding tension there? Let it go. Relax the forehead. Let the lips be barely touching, the teeth slightly parted, and relax the tongue. Let the tongue rest gently on the bottom of the mouth. If it's glued to the roof of your mouth, that means you're leaking energy through the day. Relax the tongue. Aligned words don't come from leaking energy. Face, tongue, throat, relax. Soften the eyes. Let the eyes release back toward the back brain, allowing the mind to become quiet. Watch the breath. Feel the ease of breath, the ease of this moment. Letting go of whatever came before. It's not important right now. letting go of whatever's to come. Doesn't exist yet. Just be here. Use the breath as a tool to become present. Watch the breath. Know that in this quiet moment, all is well. Watch the breath. If you find your thoughts wandering, as thoughts will, gently, without judgment, bring your focus back to the breath, back to the breath. Watch the breath. Knowing that soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana, it begins just with a thought that soon you will move. Allow the breath to deepen. Start to wiggle the fingers and toes. Slowly bring movement back to the body, your consciousness back to the room you're in, this gathering together. Slowly bend your knees. Roll onto the right side and support your head with your upper arm and weight. If there's a reason you need to roll to the left, it's okay too. Softly open your eyes. And keeping the gaze toward the floor, use your hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting. Return to our virtual circle. And always camera on whenever you can, because it trains that one-pointed focus, just like Shavasana, for words that land. Hi, Teresa, you're first that I can see. It trains that one-pointed focus. Words that land require one-pointed focus so that our words aren't scattered in all directions, like leaking energy all over the place. So take this time for yourself. Whatever else you might have thought you needed to be doing right now, you can turn off your phone, close the other pages on your computer, let other people know that you need to be here. If you need to eat something to keep up your energy or drink something, that's all fine. But do your best to be here in this place, camera on whenever you can, so that, hi Anne, so that you can join this virtual circle and train that one-pointed focus. Hi Angela. So what I'd like to do is begin together today just with a couple of observations from you. Shavasana trains many things for, Shavasana is the most practical thing I can think of doing to find the words that land. Jack Canfield says, well-known author of the Success Principles, who's on The Secret, he's a multiple best-selling author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And he says, 1 hour of work in the outer world, or 1 hour of work in the inner world is equal to 7 hours of work in the outer world. Are you working too hard? So especially if you've got a very full company and a very full life, this is the, I've begun my day in this way since 2006, missing just a handful of days. I've been given many, many different practices. This is the one that I have maintained. This is the one that I've kept because it's utterly transformed my life, my company, my world. So hi, Mary Kay. Hi, Sergio. So just a couple of words. What did you love in this Shavasana practice this morning or this afternoon, this evening, whatever, to middle of the night, whatever time it might be for you? That also trains focus, and what we focus on expands. So we have that practice of, what did I love here? What did I love here? Somebody comes and says some words we don't like. What did I love there, though? Can we pull out the thing that I love? I said something, maybe I'm giving a talk and I didn't like the words, but there's something that I loved. It trains our focus there. And then the other things just tend to fall away. And then that's what grows in our words, in our life, in our companies. So let's hear from one or two of you, just a sentence or two. What did you experience in Shavasana this time, whether you've done it many, many times with me or perhaps in a yoga class, or this is your very first time? What did you love in your practice today? You can just raise your hand. Who would like to begin? Yeah, Anne, go ahead. And don't forget, you're muted. And you can just, yeah, you got it.
For me, it was just great because I just came in from my barn and I was busy and I got hurt this morning. And so to start into your class, just to start in that place of Shavasana, it was amazing. Start something next in my day to shift to this was a great way to do it.
I'm so glad. Thank you, Anne. And did you say you were busy this morning and you got hurt as well?
Yeah, all in one day. So
yeah, and so I can't think of a better thing to do. Go check in with a health practitioner as you need to, right? But finding that quiet space and a reset point, We need to be able to do that. Sometimes right in the middle of networking, on stage, working with a client, we need to be able to find a very quick reset. And Shavasana trains us to do that. It's a practice, and it changes the energy on the spot in a very short period of time. So thank you, Anne. Love it. Beautiful. Yes. Let's hear from one more of you. What did you love here? What was this experience for you today? Yeah, Mary Kay.
Well, as it was ending, I thought I'd like to stay there. And then I realized I could, and I am at right now.
I love that observation. When we come out of Shavasana, and in the Love Your Words community, we've been doing Shavasana at the beginning of our calls for over a year and a half now. We'll be coming up to 2 years, I think, in the spring. The community's existed for 10 years, but we only started doing this. I don't know why it took us 8 years to do that for the last couple of years. And every time there's something new that we can learn about it. And one of the things that I've not emphasized so much in those 2 years I can think of is the transition point, how the transitions are so important. We come out of Shavasana mindfully. We don't just like jerk ourselves up because we shift the energy. So as I guided you step by step out of Shavasana, and then we wait, we're just lying on our side and waiting. Those transition moments are just as important as what we might call the big flashy moments, right, of Shavasana. Shavasana might not seem big and flashy, but in our companies, we might have big flashy things. Now I'm on stage. But what happens in between? What happens as I'm walking up? What happens as I'm walking away? I've got people gathered in my living room, and I can talk to them about the work that I'm doing, or I'm in front of a stage of thousands or whatever it is, right? How do I prepare for that moment? How do I go into it and out of it? And when I come in and out of it mindfully, then I have a greater and greater chance that more and more of that energy comes with me through my day. And the more I practice this, I encourage each and every one of you to start your day this way. Roll out of bed, start in Shavasana, and watch your life and your company change. And by the way, when I say your company, some of you might go, I just work with people. I don't have a company. I didn't use that word for many years myself. I just, I teach people stuff, right? Whatever word you use, don't say, well, does this apply to me? I don't have a company. It's not, does this apply? How does this apply to me? I can just substitute for that word, my business, the work that I do, the training that I do when I work with my people, whatever your word is for that, all right? So Shavasana is a practice. I encourage you to start every day with it. Watch the words change. Watch the openings come. And often what happens, no one's mentioned it. So thank you, Mary Kay. I love that. I'm in that state now. because I can bring more and more of that state to all of what I do. And one of my favorite examples of that was, it's such a favorite example. I may have even mentioned it on the Jumpstart call. I don't know. There's this couple key points that they teach so much. These stories, you'll hear them in different contexts for different reasons. So I was on a stage a couple of years ago. It was like 400 or 500 people in the audience. And the person interviewing me started out with a question. So Michelle, when you did X and had momentarily mistaken me, and we knew each other really well, but had momentarily mistaken an example of something that somebody else did that was kind of like what I did, but not the same. So they're referring to somebody else. Michelle, tell us about that moment. And so we have these moments. It was like an out-of-body experience because I have just a moment to not embarrass the host going like, actually, that's not me. You got me mistaken. That makes her look really bad. Not to say, oh, yeah, I did that. When I did that, that's lying. That breaks in the yoga tradition, satya, truthfulness, and then our words aren't going to land. What do I say in that very moment? And Shavasana is what teaches me what to say. Because like Mary Kay said, okay, oh, I'm there's something of that state that I can still be in. It's not that technically Shavasana, but I carry that energy with me. And then in those moments when I'm looking for the words, I can trust that they will come. So thank you, Mary Kay. Love it. All right. Anything else that is wanting to be shared before we go into this first, but not first call? How many of you, by the way, either attended live or listened to the recording of the Jumpstart call? Raise your hand. I just want to know. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, most of you. How many of you did not attend the Jumpstart call and didn't see it at all, like haven't seen it yet? Okay, so I strongly encourage you to go back there because it gives a strong foundation. We'll be reviewing some of that, but go back and take a look at that Jumpstart call. It's really, really some important foundational stuff. And how many of you had no idea that there was a Jumpstart call? Come on, be honest. Raise your hand. Yes, thank you. Thanks for that honesty, Sherry and Dottie. Like, it gives other people permission. So for all of you, and even if you were there live, I encourage you to go back to the calls too, because there's going to be more there than you remember, more there than you might have taken in. By the time we get to call number 5, you'll go back to listen to call number 1. And things are happening in between the cracks. Sometimes I'm not explicitly telling you what we're learning, because we're learning at multiple levels. And you'll go back and you go, oh, that's what was going on there. I've got new words to name it now, all right? So so I wanted to start by, we did a deep dive in the Jumpstart call. I'm not going to go to that same extent, but because this is officially our first call together, practical applications, get results with your words. Where are some of the places that you want to use your words? I'm going to do a deep dive into the survey. Oh, I forgot to mention that too. If you have not yet completed the survey, so make sure you go back to listen to the Jumpstart call. Read Anatomy of an Empowering Story. It'll give you a huge foundation for the work that we're doing together. And then also make sure you complete the survey. If you have not yet, please do so. I'm going to be doing a deep dive, going through them all with a fine-tooth comb before our next call. All right. So please make sure you complete those. That will have you get so much more out of the series. But for now, practical applications, get results with your words. Where do you want to get results with your words? Where do you use your words in the work that you do in your company? And how would you like to grow those words? Like, where do you want them to change? Where's the most important places for you? I'm just going to gather that for a moment. And you can just do this like popcorn, like whatever comes to mind, a word or two or a sentence, just dive in. Where do you want to use your words, Michelle? Oh, and we lost your video, Michelle. So maybe you were trying to unmute and now we can't see or hear you. So once we can see and hear you, we'll come back to you. But I saw Sherry's hand up next. So Sherry, go ahead. Oh, and then Michelle will come back to you. So Sherry, go ahead.
I want to be able to use my words more effectively in my writing. I've been doing a lot more writing, whether it's to my weekly newsletter or other writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we write. We need words both written and spoken in our companies all over the place. So we if we are doing videos, we have to have some idea of what the words are going to be. So either we don't necessarily need a written out script, but sometimes we do that. Sometimes it's, you know, words, if you're using a teleprompter, sometimes it's that you know what the main points are, but we need our words for that. We need to write them down, have some idea, talk to people about it beforehand and prepare. We need words for email campaigns. We're sending emails out to our people, marketing campaigns. Some of you might be in the process of writing a book. That we write words maybe when we're preparing classes or whatever it is that we do with our people. Trainings, maybe when we're getting up on stage, all those places we write down. For a website, we need all kinds of words. So those might be some of the places that you're thinking of, Sherry, but written words, it's everywhere in our companies. And even when they're spoken words, I've got some words that I wrote down beside me about things to remember to tell you in this call. So writing, you would like your words in writing to be effective. Thank you, Sherry. Yes, absolutely. Michelle, I love saying those names together. My sister's name is Sherry. So Sherry, Michelle, I'm back home now as a kid, right? So Michelle, you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I hit something before accidentally. Yeah, for me, it's trying to find the words to really describe what I do to people and in a clear way that, describing what I do and describing why what I do is special or can help them and, why I do what I do, all of that kind of stuff I sometimes struggle with. And for me also, it's especially in the writing. I tend to be the best one-on-one with a person when I'm not thinking about it. Then I can talk and say anything. And then as soon as I try to write it down, my brain freezes. So,
and thank you for that, Michelle. And this is also, you're illustrating so well why I want you to go and read Anatomy of an Empowering Story, because the words and the stories are connected. We're coming in through the words and practical applications, get results with your words, but of course they're connected. And there's words that we speak, there's words that we write, and then there's words inside us. And all those levels of words matter. And you said, I could say anything, but if not, right? I'd say anything when I'm just speaking to people, but when I'm writing, it gets all messed up and there's a story inside about it. Every time I go there, that's going to happen. And then that tends to perpetuate. And then it's really hard for me to find the words. Make sense?
Yeah.
So I have to be attuned to all those different levels of words, the ones inside me, the ones I'm writing, the ones I'm speaking, and the ones inside me, I want to start lining them up. They've got to be aligned with the words I'm speaking or people won't be able to hear me. Right. So, the words that form the stories that are in me, that's what you didn't explicitly say, but that level of words and helping people understand, what I do and why I can help them. And then when you said like why I do what I do, one of the things that's important too is like for them, it might, depending on who you're talking to, it might, and hang on, we're getting a bit of background noise. So I'm just going to mute your line here, Michelle. And you can unmute again as needed to speak. So sometimes, hang on. Oh, right. I lost my thought for a second. So sometimes it might matter a lot to people why we do what we do in a given situation. And we want to dive in really deeply. And at other times, that may not be the first thing on their minds. That might not be the most important thing to speak or to say. And so when do I even speak about that? How do I access it inside me? How do I find the words to say that? And then when should I even speak that and to what extent and which angle of it? So sometimes we're looking for formulas. We're looking for elevator pitches. Where's my 30-second elevator pitch and so on. But there's, as we went in deep dive in the Jumpstart call, there's so much more to it than that. If we're actually going to have words that people can hear that make a difference, that have people taking action. So I want some idea of like, how can I say what it is that I do? Why does it even matter? Yes, thank you, Michelle. Really super important. We're going to get there in all kinds of different ways throughout this whole series. So thank you for that. Beautiful. Let's hear one more. Why are you here? Like, what words are you looking for? Yeah, Jackie.
Sorry about that. I'm going to be doing some videoing in February, and I want to be able to choose my words wisely and correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for that. So one specific area, video, and I'd mentioned it, but it wasn't because Sherry had mentioned it. She was actually talking about something else. She's talking about the written word, but I said, for example, in videos, we might want to write that out beforehand. And sometimes we might want a script that were a teleprompter, sometimes not. It may be a shorter video, it might be a longer video. And so we need to understand that particular modality. There's different places we use our words and they work differently in different areas. And if we don't know about how that area works, that genre, then it's hard to find those right words. So thank you, Jackie. I've got videos and I want to get the message out and I want to get the right message out. So thank you. Love it. All right. So practical applications, get results with your words. And let me see. Just trying to decide how deeply we go into, what this series does, you can head on over to at another time, and I've asked my assistant Amy to put a link in our Story Freedom Academy so you can find that easily. It's just over at michellegunderson.com/practical applications, what the different modules are. So today we're in call one, we're kind of somewhere between module one and two. Module one, let me not tell you about all of them. We're going to be getting into, speaking, ideal client, how do we use words online, telling you some of the areas. But we're going to start how we order, where we look for words first matters. So this series has a distinct order to it because we're going to start close in, find words close in that work, and then move to further and further away. And I think we talked about that at the jumpstart call, right? Start close in and then move to far away. So thank you, Barb, for nodding your head. I know we did that. And because if I can't find out how to use words when there's somebody with, two eyes and nose and a mouth, and they're not paying attention and they can't hear my words, how can I hope to be like Jackie and get on a video where I can't even see people? How am I going to hope to find the right words if I can't figure out the words that engage a single person first and engage them in more and more deeply, right? So so module one, that's today and the jumpstart call, the four principles of persuasion. You'll find that over on michellegunderson.com/practical applications. The four principles of persuasion. This was what the jumpstart call was about. I'm not gonna do all that. Again, head back over there. But persuasive myths about power, promotion, and persuasion keep many entrepreneurs playing small, avoiding the spotlight and never achieving the impact they were born to have. With a fresh perspective on how to influence and persuade like a real human being, you'll learn to connect deeply, impact people profoundly, and grow your business with ease. So let's start from a different area than often people do with persuasion. Sometimes we think persuasion is power over. Sometimes we think there's some kind of magic words that we need. Sometimes we think that influence is a bad thing, or that it's going to come from a bad place, or some place that some other people have and we don't know how to find it. So the very first thing we need to learn is it comes from a story that I told last time, and it was about my daughter Dana. And she got up and walked across the room and came to me to look at something when she didn't want to. So if you were there at that call, or if you've heard me tell that story before, there's an acronym that we can use to remember, like, why did Dana get up and go across the room? And Jackie's going to want to remember this when she's doing her video. And Sherry's going to want to remember this when she's trying to get it in writing. Whichever the areas you want to use your words in, this is going to matter. So does anybody remember that acronym, REAL? What does it stand for? If we want real words, what does it mean? REAL. What are real words? And again, I refer you back to that first call because we did a deeper dive over there. Yeah, Michelle, go ahead.
Okay. I think relationship, empathy, like the skills with our words, like the actual words we're saying, and then the situation we're in.
Yes, that's exactly it. And I turned it into an acronym REAL so it could be remembered. But, you didn't use the acronym. And when I first made it up, I didn't have the acronym either. So, but in case it helps you remember, relationship. So Dana and I have a prior relationship. It's her moving was founded on that, but we can build that much more quickly than we think. Empathy. I understood where she was in the moment. I knew she didn't want to get up. And if I didn't know that, I couldn't do anything, even though we've got that prior relationship. She wouldn't have gotten up. Three, add, I kind of cheated with the word real. add word skill. I have to know something about how words work. And a couple people have asked, I have posted questions for this call. I'm going to remind you how to do that in just a minute. But so we're going to, one of the questions talks about that word skill, and we're going to talk about, we're going to drop in pieces of word skill all the way through this course. But some people think it's only just word skill. If I just learn enough word skill, it's going to work. But we need the whole thing. We need all that to keep the words real, to make have them land. We need to add word skill, understanding how words work and why this sentence lands and that one doesn't. And we'll have an example with Mary Kay's question in just a little bit, for example. But add word skill. And in this case with Dana, it was very simple. I just say, hey, would you come for a sec? Those are very skillful words. Because any other words, if I'd wasted any of her time, if I'd said something more, she would not have listened. And my tone of voice, everything, spoke to that empathy. I knew where she was in that moment. Otherwise, she wouldn't listen. So relationship, empathy, add word skill. And number four is love the genre. And that's what I was speaking about with Jackie's, about video. If I approach my videos like networking, for instance, there's something about networking that I want to take over to the video. If there's, if I don't have a quality that I learn when I'm networking, when I'm meeting new people, and that quality doesn't come into the video, then it's not going to land. So we're going to learn things from being close in and talking to real people. But also, if I don't understand the differences between those two, there's no way that Jackie can't make her video. Right? Because there's no back and forth with that real person, for one thing. And even just speaking from stage and constructing a video, I worked on a couple of videos this summer, and you can go take a look at them in our Story Freedom Academy. And if you don't know how to get there, there's an email in your inbox that tells you how to get there. Make sure you're accessing it, because there's a ton of resources there for you that you're going to want to access. So I did, for the very first time, I did a I've done lots of video before. I've done a ton of video, but this was the very first time doing a very strategically planned 4-minute video. And I spent a long time creating that 4-minute video. And it was for a very particular purpose, for a very particular audience. And you can go and see it. And if I mistook what that, even though I have a lot of word skill from over 25 years working with words and stories with thousands of people, right? So I have a lot of word skill, but if I didn't know how to do it over there in that video area, I'd be lost. And those 4 minutes go by very quickly. And a 4-minute video is very different than an hour and a half of training an hour long video or an interview. So I have to understand the genre. What kind of genre am I in? What's the kind of word situation I'm in? So when I understand those principles of persuasion, that's what had my daughter get up and go across the room. And in every case, I want to understand those foundational principles, right? So that's part of where we were last time. That's module, some pieces of module one. We do a little bit more with module one and move into module two, how to establish immediate influence and authority. Making a great first impression is an essential skill in business, yet most entrepreneurs never learn what to do. We cover great first impressions and authentic lasting impressions, so you attract the right clients, bring in referrals, and stay top of mind. What is it that we do when we're first meeting people? How do we, what is it that we should say and not say? What are the principles that govern our words so that we don't just have a little 30-second elevator pitch, blah, here it is, and then not know what to say after that? So that's where we're going to today. Let me see. I want to ground what we're doing here. Because again, I'm moving through the material from last time quickly. Having it be real and having my daughter actually get up and cross the room, why does that matter in your company? Which piece of that, either having a relationship or having empathy in the moment or understanding the word skill or understanding the genre, what piece of that can you immediately apply somewhere in your company, somewhere in your work, something that either you haven't thought of before or that it reminds you of a skill that you've been developing? Because I want us always to be thinking, well, where does this apply? How does this apply to me? Why does this matter to me? So keeping it real. Why does that matter to you? Where are you going to apply that next? You might just think what you're doing this afternoon, and it's going to involve that, for instance, right? Are you seeing clients? Are you speaking? Where are you first going to use that principle? Where are you going to think about that principle? Because I want us always to think it's not just abstract ideas, right? And I don't mind waiting. It's okay to wait because you're thinking. Yeah, Mary Kay, go ahead.
I wasn't sure you actually wanted to comment, but anyway.
Oh, I see. Thank you. So my bad then. Maybe everyone else was there too. Go ahead, Mary Kay.
I have a 4-minute video that I've been working on and have several drafts of, and I don't know the genre for it because I don't know how I'm going to use it. So
great.
That's
thank you.
That applies.
Thank you. And so this one piece, when applied for Mary Kay, could change everything for how that 4-minute video is going to turn out. And understanding the genre is more important than we may think. I've watched so many, even really experienced speakers, get up on stage and they don't understand what the point of their talk is. It sounds funny. They don't know why they're speaking. They think sometimes they're speaking to maybe edify themselves. They're like, I want everybody to come over to me. But it's actually not about that. It's about the audience and what's their experience, right? And something very particular about the audience as well. In networking, we mistake the genre if we come in and just go, blah, right? Have you ever been in a networking situation? Somebody just like blasts you with a whole bunch of words and you don't know what to do with them. If you've been in that situation, either a social situation or in your business somehow, some way, maybe it's somebody you know, maybe it's somebody you know intimately, maybe you've done it accidentally. Raise your hand if somebody's ever done that to you. Or maybe you've done, yeah, thank you. That's mistaking the genre. That's somebody thinking they're giving a talk. Blah, right? Even a talk shouldn't be just blah. But it's like they're standing on a stage instead of a networking situation, which is a very different genre. So, and why did I stop and ask those questions before we go on to the material for today, by the way? Do you know why I did that? I wasn't planning to. How did I know to stop and do that? It comes into your teaching as well. Or, you know, and we're as entrepreneurs, as trainers, as whatever you think of yourself, we're always teachers as well. We're uplifters and teachers. Why did I pause there? And this, yes, I'm asking for a response. Yeah, Anne, go ahead. And don't forget to unmute.
So I think that we can use good common sense when we do what we do. And so we know how to be with each setting.
Yes. Yes. So a deeper understanding of what the genre is, a deeper understanding of that this what we're talking about actually applies, right? To you, to everyone here, to all of us. And also I was just looking at your faces. Like now, if you're listening to the recording afterwards, I know you can't see everybody, right? We post it just with the speaker, but I'm looking at all of you always. And I've got you in gallery view. And I could feel, because of my background's at the university, I used to teach university before I started working with entrepreneurs, right? I just really wanted to work with people who are making a difference on the planet. Somebody else would do that work over there. But if I could train entrepreneurs to find the words to say it so they could get their words out, that transforms the planet. So I wanted to come out here and do that. And having a university background, it's like sometimes there's ideas that are theoretical. And from the looks in your faces, that looked like a theoretical idea. Yeah, that's nice, because we did a deep dive on it and it was much more experiential last time. But everyone's sitting there looking like that's classroom knowledge. It doesn't really apply to me. And so this is like a key principle too when we're networking. So you got to look at what's happening with the other person. And we can use that in speaking. So when we're close in, we can see people and we can react and do things differently. And then, for instance, when we do that video, like Jackie's going to do that video, she doesn't have that response. So she's got to imagine it. And she needs a lot of prior experience with one-on-one, with giving talks live. And so the more experience she's gathered in sales conversations or different arenas where she's used her words around her company. And if she hasn't done that yet, video is going to be hard to do. So one of the things she's going to want to do is practice close in. And so I was just looking at you. I was like, that hasn't landed yet. I could tell by your faces. Let's let it land more deeply, right? And if you heard it more after we gave the examples of like social networking, when people go blah all over, or you know, on stage or different, if it landed more like this is something that is actually going to be useful for you after I start asking questions, raise your hand. I'm just checking to see. Yeah, quite a few of you raising your hands, right? So yes, thank you. More of them coming up, like almost, so at least almost all the hands, if not all of them. So that's why, again, we want to, that principle of starting close in. We want to start close in, learn the words there, and then move further and further away. So Jackie's going to do a lot of that. And anybody's doing video are going to do a lot of that to start, right? So let me see. I wanted to go to, okay, anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? Anything burning to be said? Yeah, Dottie, go ahead.
Before we go too much further, I wanted to ask you about, you said in the beginning, let me write it down, people paying attention to what you say, using the right words, using the right who you are, being the person that you're supposed to be, so that people pay attention to you. Sometimes I talk, I'm really good at recommending things, and I'm surprised that more people don't listen to me. So if you could talk about
anybody else find that? Like sometimes you have really good ideas and you know you can help that person, but they still can't hear you. And there's somebody slipped through the cracks and you could have helped them, but you didn't. And some of the words didn't land. Who's had that happen before? Raise your hand. Yeah, it's like that's all my hands, right? How come we have more and more of the time where people are actually listening and taking action? And well, stay tuned for the whole series, Donnie. Stay tuned for the whole series. And it starts with that acronym REAL. All right. And so part of it, I expect, might be two things. I'm just going to name two things. So you've got something to hang on to for today in answer to that question. But in a way, the whole series answers that question. All right. So, but here's two things to hang on to. There's the piece about genre I really want to emphasize. If I'm suggesting things and it's happening often and people aren't taking action on it, I probably think I'm giving a talk instead of networking. And I'm not following all the principles that we're going to learn in our call today and carrying on tomorrow too, because that's the foundation. What is it when I do when I meet that person? Because when I'm probably mixing up the genre. And I might even be mixing it up with not even speaking, but maybe preaching. I don't know, right? Like speaking from the pulpit, right? And that's the example that comes to mind. And that's a very specific genre that's different from just giving a talk at the Rotary Club, for instance, which is different from giving a talk, a teacher in front of children, right? Can you see that these are all very different genres, even though they're all speaking in front of a group? So I have to learn the rules of the game of that genre. And if I'm always suggesting things, and this is what Dottie was suggesting, right? If I have a habit that I'm always suggesting things and people aren't taking it up, I probably am not even mistaking, say, networking with speaking. I'm probably mistaking it with something like a preacher from the pulpit. Now, a preacher from the pulpit has a particular role to play, and there's a particular assumptions in that audience. People assume that, you know, I'm here, I'm in church, for instance, because that person knows more or knows something about connecting with God, with spirit, or whatever that I'm supposed to learn here, and so I better listen and act on what they say I'm supposed to do. That's already assumed, right? That authority is already assumed, and so they can now preach. If you followed what I said so far, raise your hand. This is a really important point that Dottie just raised. Yeah. So they can just go ahead and preach. I mean, there's still principles of that. I'm not teaching preaching here, Lauren, so I'm not going to go deeper into that. But if we're doing that when we're networking, if we're always giving advice, we're probably mistaking networking with preaching. And so we've missed all of the how that genre works. So no matter how much skill we've learned with words, no matter how the relationship we have with the person, it might even be somebody who's really close to us. If I do that with my daughter, Dana, she won't listen to me. No way. Hey, Dana, go and get your shoes now. You know, even when she was 7, if I said it like that, she would not listen to me. And all the other requirements are there in that acronym REAL. So thanks for the, so the genre, number one. And then there's multiple answers to that question, but the next answer to that question, I'm going to dive into, goodness. I hope I have it here beside me. If not, I'm going to have to do it by memory. That's not going to be so good. Sorry, I brought so many things beside me here. In answer to your questions. Here they are. Okay, thank you. So the one answer is the genre. The other, another answer is Deadwood, what I call Deadwood. And we talked about this on the first call, I believe. Does anybody remember what it is? And again, I know it was a while ago. Michelle, go ahead.
Like all the extra words that you say that really don't help you in either direction. They're kind of just floating extra words.
Right. So, and Mary Kay asked two questions related to it. She says, you know, are there any red, you know, so first, before I go to Mary Kay's question, let me tell you why I'm talking about it in response to Dottie. So if I say, hey guys, you should really listen to me because I teach people about painting walls. I'm just looking at the walls beside me. I teach people about painting walls, and I'm really good at painting walls, and I've taught people for a long time, and I'm all about walls. I know about black walls, and I know about red walls, and I know about green walls. And if you have anything that you want to know about walls, I can teach you that they're, it's really important, all kinds of things about, you know, paint and all kinds of stuff. None of you are hearing anything that I said, correct? This is like, blah. And if I just said, cut out all the extra words that I don't need, and I just say, I paint walls. How's your living room looking? Have I already got more of your attention? I mean, I just pulled this example out of the air here, right? More of your attention than the first time around? And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, how is my living room looking? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it needs a paint coat, right? Already thought, started up. So extra words get in the way. And I don't want you to think too much about Deadwood. Mary Kay asked a couple questions about Deadwood. And sometimes if we think too much about Deadwood, we're going to just try to constrain ourselves to that elevator pitch. And our shoulders go like this. And we think it's got to be perfect words. And then our editor comes up. That's that voice inside that says, none of my words are good. And I better make it just these words. And so we actually get all bowled up and it gets worse. So we don't want to think too early about Deadwood. All right, but Mary Kay's asking on the very first call of our series, so I'm going to address it. It's a great, great question. I want you to know first, don't worry about it too much at the beginning. Because if we worry too much about the beginning, again, we're going to get like robots, or we're going to get like robots. And we'll talk about, you know, the kind of networker we don't want to be in just a minute. And Dottie, if you'll just hold that for a second, and because I want to finish this this one piece. So don't worry about it too much at the beginning. And then how do you know if you're using too many words or not enough words when you're speaking? Mary Kay says, and she's got some great answers here. She says, my own answer revolves around how active my editors are, those voices inside, plus the body language of the person I'm speaking to. What else could you clue into? So what's that? Is the voice inside me screaming? When it is, I'm probably going to use too many words. Really good point, Mary Kay. What's the body language? I already did that. I was looking at all of you and I was like, I can tell by just the way that you're sitting that it's all intellectual knowledge right now, that first part, right? Paying attention. So these are both really good tips. But sometimes I can use a lot of words, and you know, I can vary the pacing too. There's all kinds of things that go into word skill. Sometimes I can use a lot of words because I want to say that there's a lot. And sometimes we're busy in our companies. We've got a lot to do. We've got to, maybe if you work with us, a number of you work with horses, you're out there in the barn, and you've got to take care of the horses, and you got to talk to the people, and you've got to clean the barn, and you've got to make sure the horses are well cared for, and you've got to bring the vet in. And sometimes it's overwhelming, isn't it? There was nothing wrong with that sentence. Because this torrent of torrential rainfall of words was meant to describe how that person was feeling. So it's not that we always have to use just these tiny words and keep it tight in. Mary Kay has something really profound here, right at the very first call. So I'm going to start off with that. What's the voice inside saying? Can I calm it down with Shavasana first so that there's clarity? I came into this call pretty excited today. I had lots of stuff going on, and you could probably hear it in my voice, right? Shavasana brought me to a different state. If you go back and listen to the call, you'll hear that, right? Listening to my editors, what's the voice inside? Listening to, watching somebody else's body language, listening to my own body. And that's why we need Shavasana as well. Like if my shoulders are hunched and my throat is tight and I just like, I'm not feeling good because it's reflecting that editor that's inside. It ends up in the body. I'm probably going to use more words because I'm nervous, because I'm worried that it's not landing. So I keep piling on words and more words and more words. And that just makes it worse. We need space, spaciousness in our words. But not always. Sometimes if we've got a lot to say and then we want to make a point, so we slow down. All this is like some random pieces of word skill. Point number three, keeping it real. So Mary Kay's question about Deadwood, cluing into your editor, cluing into your own body, doing Shavasana every day, and knowing the point that you want to make. That's really important too. What's the one thing that I want to say? Clarity. And then we can even wander over somewhere else and then we'll come back and land right back on that point. So Deadwood, extra words that get in the way, get rid of them. And and people will hear you better, all right? So first off, I want to go to Mary Kay because I'm going to answer some questions that are on the table. If you don't know how to ask questions, it's over in Story Freedom Academy. Please post your questions because that I'll always make sure we get to the material that we need to get to. And sometimes it'll be a little later, a little sooner. And then also your questions make it relevant to you. And it's live and on the spot and other people will have that question too, right? And sometimes they don't even know they have that question yet. All right. First I want to go to Mary Kay. Did that address the question of Deadwood? Like extra words, yes, listen to the other person's body, take a look at their energy, listen to your own, both the words inside and your own body, have a single point to make. Many things I could say about that. Know your audience. Anything, does that give you a start, Mary Kay, with your question?
Yes, and I think the one that I feel like I need the most is to stick, you know, just to keep that, know the point I want to make. Because that can go off track real easily.
And you see that Mary Kay was right on point there, so she was illustrating the point she was making. Right? She had one point to make, and that's that she wanted to remember the point to make, and then we could all hear her, and she didn't have extra words getting in the way. All right, thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful, beautiful question. Dottie, I want to go to your hand was raised with a comment or a quick question and just a sentence, just real quick so that we can get to other pieces I want to train you with today.
My question is about positioning. A lot of the sales trainers say that when you just meet someone, you should tell them a little bit about yourself to have them want to listen to you.
So I'm going to just postpone that question to the whole of the training for today, because what is it that you should do when you first meet somebody? And the whole of the training is going to talk about this. Just a couple more questions on deck first. And again, if you want me to do a deeper dive into that question, post it for next week's question or next week's call. Okay, Dottie. So I want to address, let me see. I've got two other questions on deck. It's Barb's question and Sherry's question. And I think what I want to do is go into the training, then come circle back around to your questions. Are you okay if we do that? Yes, is that all right? And if we, because I want to make sure we can do it, get to the training today so people can get a chance to go ahead and play with it. We're training all the way along, right? We're training all the way along, but get to that core piece of training for today. So I'm just going to postpone the questions for just a second. So thank you for that. They're really, really great questions that are going to help others as well. So, all right. So you've just met somebody. We want to learn how to do that because otherwise Jackie, for instance, is not going to be able to do her video. Because if she doesn't know what to say to that one person, how is she going to be able to say it to an invisible bunch of people? And meeting people is so important. If we're not meeting new people, how could we have people that we can do our work with in the world? Our companies expand, our work expands by the new people that we meet. Either we're networking or we are, I'm using the word networking, but no, it's any situation where you meet people. I've met people in all kinds of places. When I'm speaking, when they're speaking, they've enrolled in work with me. I've been out at a concert, people have enrolled in work with me. Not because I told them about it, because they came over and asked me about it. How does that end up happening, right? How do people end up getting curious about our work? And how do we even start that conversation? So I think what I want to do is talk about, I want to share with you a handout, and these handouts are up in the Story Freedom Academy now. So I'm just going to share my page. And I just got to make sure I've got the right page that I'm sharing. Yeah, okay, so share a few things here. So first, this is this description of at michellegunderson.com/practical applications, just so you know what it is we're doing here. So we're right between module one and module two right now, all right? And just wanted to point that out. And then there is the Jumpstart call. And here is Story Freedom Academy with all kinds of resources for you, all right? We'll be loading up the calls here for you, so make sure you head on over there. And I am going to just show you, it says, see, download these principles. We've got a whole bunch of handouts. We're just going to start like playing with these today, all right? So, and here is that principles of persuasion, so you can remember it. You can, really great idea to have a binder for your practical applications class. You can start gathering these handouts. You can start gathering your questions. So when you think of a question during the week, jot it down. And then when you're by your computer, send it to me. And if there's more questions than we have time, I'll find a way to make sure that we answer all your questions, all right? So relationship, empathy, add word skill, love the genre. And here's where I want to go to with networking. And actually, you know what, before we do that, I want to stop sharing because I want to ask you first, what do you know about networking? Like, so you're meeting somebody, what do you think you should and should not do? How do you go about telling people? Dottie was suggesting something, well, you're supposed to tell people about you so that, I mean, what do you think you should do when you meet somebody? What's a good thing to do? Yeah, Sherry, go ahead. And then Anne, and then Jackie.
Become engaged in who they are. Ask them about themselves and what they do, and give them an opportunity to talk about themselves. Inevitably, what happens in a conversation like that, they then pause and say, "And what do you do?" Unless they are so self-centered, they wouldn't do it anyway.
And Sherry, not your first go around with practical applications. This is a very wise answer, right? So a lot behind that answer. But questions are golden. Questions are super, super important. And actually getting somebody talking, and I want to tell you a story about Los Angeles in a minute that's going to directly relate to that. But I want to gather up some other ideas here. So Anne, what should you do? You've just met somebody. What do you do? Don't forget, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I was going to say something similar to that, but I think I always just like to see where they live, what do you do? So it's the same thing, I guess, ask questions, give kind of care about them somehow.
Yeah, and I know that, like, somehow, I know I got to ask questions, but what should I even ask? And I know I just want to show that I care, but still, you know, some uncertainty about that. Okay, thank you. But asking questions, maybe where they live, like, I don't know, like, ask them something, right? So, Jackie, how about you?
Well, by doing all those things and asking those questions, you're building a relationship with that person. So that's that was immediately to my mind. You want to build a relationship to find out, do you want to work with this person? Do you want to, you know, do some marketing with this person? You have to get to know them to know if you want to be in that that little group.
Thank you. Love that. So, and you mentioned that first word in that, having our words be real, relationship. It's foundational. Mm-hmm. And so if, like Dottie says, well, I'm always giving advice, then maybe what needs to happen is something that sometimes I teach people to, like our key phrase that you'll hear is like, go slowly to go quickly. Go slowly to go quickly. If I'm in a real rush to fix somebody's problem, I've gone too fast. I don't even know who that person is yet. And I'm not preaching, for instance, right? It's a different genre than that. And it's got to be based on that. Wait, I'm just going to mute all the lines again. There's a few lines that opened. And if you can remember to mute yourself again afterwards when you've spoken, just because it keeps a nice clear recording for everyone and a nice clear line. So, all right. So those are some great suggestions. I want to get on over to some really foundational principles for networking.
I completely and totally space.
Sorry. Oh, Sherry. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Thank you for muting your line again. All right. Let me just share my screen once again. All right. So, 7 principles of networking magic. 7 principles. So we ask questions, I guess, comes under, I don't even have that listed there. But it comes under listening, right? It comes under listening. So create connection. What do you have in common? So often we start out with the wrong places. Like, how am I going to tell people about what I do? But there's one really well-known teacher he used to work in the relationship field. And when people asked him what he did, he would just say, you know, I teach about love. There wasn't even an elevator pitch. Like, we're so sometimes engaged in, well, what am I supposed to say at the beginning, that we forget the most foundational thing, which is the opposite. It's like, well, who is that? Who is that other person anyway? It's really about them. So he's in the relationship field, and when people ask him what he does, he just says, "I teach about love. I teach about love." And people go, "What do you mean? Are you a kindergarten teacher? Are you, you know, what do you do?" Like, it's left so much of a space. People have no idea, and they're curious, and they want to ask. So instead of starting with the words, we want to start with the silence, like Shavasana. We want to start with a listening, right? Create connection. What do you even have in common? And just a little story to share about this. There's a woman from, she was from LA. I'm from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And I was at an event, and it wasn't even about my work. It was somebody else's work that, you know, she was considering diving into. And she was talking to me about it. And at first she was like all the way you guys were, all like just that's intellectual knowledge, or just like just a part of her was there, right? So I just started chatting, and I started talking about LA traffic, right? Start talking about LA traffic and Calgary traffic and how, or just outside Calgary, and how it's the opposite, and how the, you know, I was once on a road where there was like nobody there, but there was just a person holding a stop sign, and we're the only car for miles, and there was no construction I could see at all. I'm like, so opposite of you. Like, connection. It wasn't even connection. It was connecting by opposites. Man, I've been in LA. You guys are brave. You know, you guys have to, you know, it's 20 minutes to get there, 2 hours back, and or vice versa. And you know, and I come from a place where you can stand at the stop sign. Nobody's there. We were there for 10 minutes. And he started laughing, and we're connected. And, you know, it was over something silly. And then we started talking about things that were real. But before we got through that piece, like, there was the conversation could just only be head knowledge, right? Listen before speaking. Listen for opportunities to connect and serve. So, you know, what are they worried about today? What are they concerned about? And that will naturally follow once you have created that connection. These things can happen very quickly. Often it happens. It can happen sometimes in like less than a minute, sometimes longer. I've had people sometimes in networking situation, they just burst into tears. Like, Michelle, how did you know that? The people in my life for 30 years, they didn't know that. because I'm listening to the person, I'm watching their energy, I'm seeing what they're not saying, I'm listening to the words that are underneath the words, and all through the series, we're going to learn how to listen in that different way. Uplift, empathize and uplift. So positive conversations like, oh yeah, don't join the Ain't It Awful Club, right? Ah, traffic is awful today. Yeah, wasn't the traffic really awful? I hated it. Like, I just, as much as we can we have an energy that's different from that? Because that only goes down the rabbit hole. It doesn't mean that we can't be real. But it's like, yeah, you know, if I'm talking to my daughter and she just got home and maybe the bus took 10 times as long because there was a bunch of snow like it was last week here, and she got stuck or it took a long time to get home. And so I might start there. Like, wow, yeah. And I'd speak her language. Like, that sucked. Sorry, that's the language I would use. That sucked. Yeah, it's a long time. It's cold out. It took you twice as long. And I was going to, you know, I'd start there. But not let my energy go there. Not push it away, but can I find a different energy inside me? Can I be well rested enough? Can I be, can I have enough going on in my own life that I feel good about my own life? And if not, what can I do to shift that? So the words come from the life as well, right? And just starting our day with Shavasana starts to shift the energy of our whole day. So if it was like this, it's just that little bit higher, right? So yeah, that sucks. So was anybody on the bus that you were chatting with? Is it, you know, just something that starts to turn the conversation, but not by forcing it somewhere else. But whatever it was, you know, oh yeah, it was really awful. Maybe she'll turn the conversation, but so-and-so, you know, Jack was on the bus and it was kind of interesting. Oh, tell me about that. You know, serve, come from service, be in it for the long game. Don't be in a rush, create gap, curiosity. Where can you leave a space so they can enter in? So, like I teach about love. That doesn't tell them enough. We often want to like just blah and tell them all. It doesn't tell them enough. So there's actually a space so they can enter in, go slowly to go quickly. And that's that principle that I talked about. Let it go. Don't be in a rush. Trust that the magic happens. And this is what Sherry was talking about earlier. The conversation will naturally turn to you. So what I want you to do is take a look at these on the screen right now. I went through them one piece at a time. Each one of these I could do and some of them I have done, you know, hour-long or day-long trainings because there's more to them than meets the eye. But I want us just to have a bunch of different principles in front of us that we can start to play with, right? And I want you to just contemplate these for a moment and choose one. Just choose one that you think, oh, that's an area that I haven't really thought about. Or I could do more of, or I want to even understand more about that one. So write it down on your page right now. Which one of these do I want to understand better about networking magic, right? And by the way, having influence and authority all comes from this. People listen to us because we've done these things. Okay. And then I want to hear from a couple of you. I know I took it away from in front of us, but you've got that one principle, right? You wrote it down. I want to hear just from one or two of you, which one do you want to put into practice this week? And you can practice it when you're going to the grocery store. You can practice it when you're meeting new potential clients. You can practice it in social situations, right? Different places. But what's the principle you want to play with and why? This week. Let's hear from one or two of you. Yeah, Anne, go ahead.
Well, I teach horseback riding, and I teach a lot of children, but I also work with adults. So I think for me, listening would be a good one. Of course, we all know how to listen, but I think that's where I have to tell these little kids or medium kids or big kids what to do all the time. Do this, do that. Maybe I should try to flip the ball more. And ask them, what are your goals tonight? Like, that's what I have this class coming up later tonight. So as you were talking, I'm going to say, all right, you guys, what are your goals? And they're like 12-year-olds and 10-year-olds. But they, you know, I could just run the whole class like a coach or a teacher. But I felt like that would be a good thing for me to practice is better listening.
Love that. And, you know, I said, well, we all know how to listen. And it is, to a certain degree we do. From the last chapter of my PhD dissertation was called Listening Differently. And I feel like I'm still learning. I'm still learning. And it doesn't have to do, how do we actually listen? It doesn't always have to do with those things that we think it has to do with. You know, we can lean in, we can repeat people's words, we can, all kinds of kind of tricks about listening. But you know that you've been with somebody who's done all those tricks and you still know they're not listening. And you can sometimes break all the rules. I'll stop people mid-sentence sometimes. But often people say, Michelle, you've listened to me like nobody's ever listened to before. And so where does that come from? And I'm still learning. And there's, I can't emphasize that enough. It's a skill that the words come from listening. And what words should we say about the work that we do? The quickest tip I can give you is listen to what people are saying, the people that you work with. It's those words. Even the words to describe our work, they come from somebody else. And the listening, that's not the only place they come from, but that's one of the places. So listening. Thank you, Anne. Let's hear one more. Which one did you choose and why? Yeah, Steve, go ahead. And Barb, I don't know if you were, that, was that just your glasses? I'll go with Steve. Steve, go.
creating a gap, giving them space is a place. I probably tend to talk too much. Listening is something obviously I'm working on. One of the things somebody said to me was that if I spew too fast, then rather than listening to me, the people are going to be looking for a place for them to break in. And if you let them go first, then they can, they're done. And now you can, now they'll have space for you, to talk. So this is sort of a, but when I get to that point, when we're finishing the conversation, right, as I get through it and I understand I've explained what it is that I do and enough, then giving them space to respond.
Thank you, Steve. Love it. And are you okay if we play with this just a little bit?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure the answer is going to be yes. Loved what you said. Creating the gap, giving them space. And this can be combined with that training that Mary Kay solicited from me about Deadwood, right?
Sure.
Because which one did, like, can I pause, make a space, and then listen? And sometimes I can say it with fewer words too. And that might not apply for all of you. Some of you might be really shy. Some of you don't speak as much. And you don't want to source the words. And Steve, if you tend to speak more, like, so it's different personalities as well, right?
Yeah.
What if what you said could be said like this? Here's the play part. Can I be you for a minute?
Please. Is that okay?
Thank you.
I don't know if you can be me, but.
Well, in my imitation, my best imitation. sometimes I just spew my words. People say that. Next time, I'm going to create a gap. I'm going to stop and listen. I think it'll change things. Steve, which one did you hear better, when you said it or when I said it? The honest answer.
There's certainly a great deal more power in the way you said it. It's more inviting.
Ah. So... word, that part of what I was showing is some examples of word skill. And listen, you're going to hear all kinds of, if you go back and play this, you're going to hear all kinds of Deadwood I'm using all the time. Don't worry about it too much. I know that there's going to be extra words. And so if we think too hard about it, we're just going to get all balled up in our heads and we can't say anything anymore, right? So, and what Steve said was really mindful there. because he was also working through an idea. Do you get what I'm saying? So all perfect. As he was working through that idea, and then he's starting to hear it, and then we heard it too. We did hear what he said. It was a really important point. I'm going to create a gap. So you can practice with some of the ideas that we've started to play with this week. How do I create a gap? You know, if I just say, hey, I teach about love, or hey, I teach people how to do stuff better. I mean, see, that could be, you know, like Steve could just, that might not be his language. He might not say do stuff, right? But maybe he would, right? I teach people how to do stuff better. What do you mean do stuff better? What, you think you're better than everybody? You know, it like almost might be playful, right? Or it's like, I teach, because yeah, people don't want to get stuff done, but
sometimes I want to just get shit done.
Yeah, I teach people how to get shit done, right? What do you mean by that? Right? Are you a contractor and you help them get, you know, like that would might be a really good answer for him. Productivity, right? Which some productivity, but like that's a really great something that leaves a bit of space, leaves a gap, leaves a place for people to enter in. Yeah, really good. Thank you. All right. So play with that one for this week. And I want to stop and decide if I want to push a little further forward or consolidate a little here, or go to the question. So give me 1 second here. I want to give you one other piece. And let me see. We might get to the two other questions, or let me see. Yeah, we might get to, Barbie, okay if we get to your question next week? I asked you to ask me, and then, yeah, is that all right? Thank you for that. Yeah, and Sherry, I don't see you. So we're going to get to the other two questions next week, all right? I'll try not to do that usually, but we're setting a foundation today, so I really want to make sure that we get that foundation in. So let me just, I want to share my screen one more time. Because you'll probably head on over to those handouts. In fact, I encourage you to do so. And I just want to give you, not that 8 networking do's and don'ts. You can take a look at that yourself, and we'll pick up where we left off last time, because all this stuff works as an integrated whole, right, to find the words. But I want you to understand networking personalities, 10 networking personalities to avoid, and 10 networking personalities to emulate. And I want you to be able to have fun with this week in conjunction with the 7 principles. And then we'll do the 8 networking do's and don'ts next time, all right? So 10 networking personalities to avoid. Have you seen these personalities before, or have you been them? Debbie Downer. Man, you know, my cat's been sick for 3 weeks, and I just, like, my cat threw up all over my shoes this morning. I just hated it. And yeah, how are you? How are you doing? And they had this, you know, dinner. Well, yeah, it's, you know, it's, I'm getting better about the cat, but like, when I took my, it was hard to even find time. Like, who wants to, it's really hard to engage, right? Sometimes what we do is to get rid of Debbie Downer, we put a happy face on empty gas gauge. That doesn't help either. It's not that, but just notice, be playful about these. Just notice when you're doing it, because it doesn't matter. You could have the picture perfect elevator pitch that was crafted by, you know, Lord knows who, came from the heavens. No one will hear it. We can't hear it, right? Miss Spew it. I think we already kind of gave an example of that. I gave you an example when I had a bunch of deadwood. I was just like spewing stuff all over. Nobody heard anything. Mr. Robot. That's like, hey, well, here's this fact, and here's that fact, and here's that, and here's that. It's kind of like how you guys, there's a little bit of Mr. Robot in how you guys were, how your faces looked, at least. Or it's like what I sometimes got at the university when students were trying to give the right answer, you know? Like there's no life or energy there, right? Mrs. Know-it-all. Hey, I got all the answers, and you know, I love the picture that beside it, we got the idea. Mrs. Too Vulnerable and Wounded, Miss Desperate to Make a Sale, Mr. Fix It, Miss Give Me Your Business Card, Mr. Distanced and Wandering, Miss Self-Absorbed, Only I Matter. Now, There's also networking personalities to emulate. We'll look at those next time. We don't usually end right on the hour, by the way. So just carve out 2 hours for yourself. We will probably usually end somewhere between the hour and quarter after, but you want some time. You want to book out 2 hours so you have some time to implement the things we're actually doing. Like, how am I actually going to take this into my life this week? What's the one thing that I want to change? The one thing I want to do the same? The one thing that I'm going to get rid of in what I've been doing, right? So maybe I recognize that most of the time I'm Mr. Distracted and Wandering, for instance, right? So I want to ask you, why would you not want to be these networking personalities first? First, actually, before I even ask that, did you recognize some of these? Have you either met some of these or accidentally been some of these? Be honest, right? Probably all been some of them at least sometime. Thank you. Okay. Why would you not want to be these? And you can take one example if one stays in your mind. Like, just tell me the obvious. And then we're going to go to the subtle right after that. But tell me the obvious. Why would you not want to be? Give me one example. Yeah, Jackie, go ahead.
Well, it's funny. I'm going back a little bit to the 7 things that we were working on. But there comes a time, what I do is hard and I travel a lot. And I have a tendency to go, somebody asked me how my day is. And I'm like, bleh, there you go. And it's not Debbie Downer, you know, and it's kind of like, yeah. So now I'm going to be working on uplifting and bringing in positive conversations and uplifting and empathizing with people. So that's my goal. So it tied right in when I saw that. I was like, yeah, I've been there, done that.
Right. And then I'm going to give my elevator pitch, blah. And then, man, you just can't get there from there. Fantastic. So you can play with that and be playful about it. Thank you for that notice. So then really just one sentence, Dottie, and then Barb. Dottie, go ahead.
I didn't ask a question.
Pardon me? Oh, it was to ask a question? So
I didn't ask a question.
Oh, I thought your hand was up. Okay. So then it's Barb.
Well, you're trying to get away from them. You know, trying to figure out a way to get away from them. And if you want to be engaging someone, you don't want them, you know, trying to get away. Looking over your shoulder, looking for you know, any way to escape.
Did you see Barb's face as she was talking about that? That's what happens. It's like the opposite of influence and authority. Doesn't matter how picture perfect the words are, no one will hear that they're trying to run away, right? And now I just want to land this one point so you can go away and playfully, you know, notice these, be gentle with yourself, notice it in others, notice it in yourself. And then how do we change that to create that influence and authority and all the pieces build? It builds on that keeping the conversation real, that acronym real from the last time, right? So here's what I want you to notice. If we could take any of these, let's say it's Miss Desperate to Make a Sale. Like I could pick it at random, but I landed on her, Miss Desperate to Make a Sale. Why are people running away? Why are people running away? Well, there's lots of answers to that, but let me give you one answer. Each one of these networking personalities breaks something in that principles of persuasion, that acronym REAL. Miss Desperate to Make a Sale is probably not even paying attention to the relationship at all. She just wants to sell to someone, to anybody, because she's desperate, because she hasn't made a sale in a long time, or she thinks that, you know, she's got, for whatever reason, right? Hasn't stopped to listen, might not be empathy in the moment, right? So taking another one at random, this is too vulnerable and wounded. It's the one right above that. Again, it crosses relationship, right? If she's so vulnerable and wounded, it's like, man, this bad thing happened to me and that bad thing happened to me. And you feel my energy going down too. And that bad thing. And don't ask me that because, you know, it's like people may want to either protect or get away from that person. And there's no relationship. There's no real relationship there. Because you're coming in, it's like leaning on a world that where there's no relationship there prior. Sometimes I might feel vulnerable. I might feel wounded, or my daughter might, for instance, but there's a prior relationship that allows, hey, you know, I've had a bad day or whatever, right? And then an opening of vulnerability, even with my daughter, right? There's no establishing of relationship. There's no empathy with the other person too caught in their own story. Each one of these, not understanding the genre, right? I'm not maybe an actor in a play or something like that. Might be appropriate to be Mrs. Too Vulnerable and Wounded because I'm an actress, actor in a movie. So when you look at each one of these, it's not because, it's because people want to run away, but it's also because it breaks the principles of persuasion. It's impossible to persuade from that place. So we'll continue this discussion about creating immediate influence and authority. And the first thing we're going to do is, like, here's some things that we're not going to do. And we're going to playfully notice when we're doing them because we've all done some piece of them. And then getting to notice them, like notice when it's happening, watching people in a social situation or a networking situation and see how people are reacting. So there's not even a space for the words to land. And then practice with the one that you've chosen, like Steve with a gap. You can practice, you know, all of them if you choose, but start with at least one of them. Practice it and see how that makes a difference. And you can add any of the pieces that we've talked about, the deadwood, having one point that you want to say. I work with horses. You start there. Because, you know, it could be something so simple instead of that fixed elevator pitch that doesn't move, that's more speaking from the pulpit, etc. Already in just learning this, you are so far ahead of so many people out there in who are offering their services to the world. So we're going to wrap up this call today. Please remember to post your questions. I'm sorry that I didn't get to those two questions today, but it was our first call, and I really wanted to make sure that we had a really solid foundation. So Barb, Sherry, please keep me accountable to answering those questions. And then please post. I'd be happy if there's like 10 questions, 20 questions, and we'll make sure to get to all the questions. We will get there. All right. We're going to end our call today with one aha, one thing that opened for you. It might be, oh, with video, I have to network first. It could be something simple like that. Or, man, I don't want to be one of those personalities. I want to learn about them. It's just whatever it is that landed in you that you remember, so that we're creating a world where we're always having ahas. And then one inspired action. So it's not just head knowledge like sometimes happened at the university. Something you're actually going to do to put it on the court so it actually moves something in your company, your life, your world. Right? One aha, one inspired action, just one sentence, and we wrap up the call. If you need to go, thank you so much. You can catch them in the recording afterwards. So, Anne, you're in my upper left-hand corner. You're up first. One aha, one inspired action. This is my favorite part because I learn from each one of you. And it might be something that Anne says that Michelle is, that's the most important thing that she needs is going to come out of Anne's mouth right now, or vice versa, right? So, Anne, go ahead.
Just being aware of the things that we can work on, the gap, that's my aha, the listening, that was really awesome. And I am going to put for sure the listening into place tonight starting. And I like the gap thing too. I think I could do better at that.
Awesome. Thank you. Fantastic. And one thing I forgot to say is an action is one check-offable action. So perfect for now, Anne. And then I'm going to ask Barb one check-offable action so we know that we've put it into place. It's like, I'm going to listen once. Once I've listened once, I can check it off. I know I did it. And then I can listen the rest of my life, right? Barb, go ahead. One aha, one inspired action.
I think bringing the principles of persuasion together with personalities to avoid, yes. And thinking about where I might fit into those. And my action is to try to combine the serve and create the gap because mm-hmm. I tend to give away the farm.
Aha, great notice. You guys are already doing fabulous work. I'm so excited for our journey. We're just at call one, already a ways down the road. Fantastic. Thank you, Barb. Dottie, you're up.
I loved learning about the purpose of the genre, to pay attention to that. And I'm going to implement the gap, create in the gap.
Oh, Dottie, life-changing for your company.
Thank you.
Life-changing. If you did that all week long, but miles ahead of anything else you could be doing right now. Fantastic. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Perfect. Jackie, you're up.
I think that along with Anne's, you know, it all matters, but all of these little things, the create the connection, the listen, the uplift, the long game, the, you know, create the gap, the serve, all of these are just little things, but they add up to something huge.
Thank you for saying that, Jackie. Exactly. And everything we do all through this course, as it builds and builds and builds and builds, utter transformation in how we use our words, how people hear us in all those different arenas. Thank you for noticing that. Absolutely. Yes. What's your inspired action?
The uplift. I'm going to stay happy and positive and, you know, when you get hit several times in a row, it's hard to come back from that. But that's what I have to concentrate on. You can't stay down. You gotta get up and pick yourself up and head at it again.
Fantastic. Yes. And then I'd watch for happy face on empty gas gauge. You don't want that as either. It's like, everybody knows it's not. That's having the words aligned. So play with that this week. Ask a follow-up question if you want to. This is fantastic. Really, really great work. Yes. And Michelle, you're up.
For me, I wrote down that impactful words that connect come from silence, not from a busy mind. So to step back, breathe, pause, and connect to the inner voice or feeling that you're having, which for me is really critical when I'm teaching. And then the action I'm going to take is I'm on my way to meet a brand new student for the first time today, and I really want to try to do that when I meet them so that I'm calmer when I start to talk to them. So just not feeling like I have to be in the spotlight and say everything all at once. So
I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Have fun out there networking, playing, watching what's happening, watching people's reactions. Enjoy playing with what we've done this week. Make sure to go back to do the survey, listen to the Jumpstart call, read anatomy, and then we will be really ready for where we take this next. We're going to start moving from networking. Then we're going to head on over into speaking. How do we take that to the stage? Not quite there yet. We need a few more foundations for, well, how do we even talk about what I'm going to do or what I do and how do they start listening to me? We'll carry on that discussion next time. So have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Same time, same place. Bye-bye for now.